There are many fascinating features regarding the record of the patriarch Job. And at the end of the book, you might think, wow, what a man. But the point of the book is, wow, what a God. In Job chapter 1, beginning at verse 6, we read, "There was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. And the Lord said to Satan, 'From where do you come?' So Satan answered the Lord and said, 'From going to and fro on the earth and walking back and forth.' Then the Lord said to Satan, 'Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil?' So Satan answered the Lord and said, 'Does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him and around his household and around all he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But now stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face.' And the Lord said to Satan, 'Behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not lay a hand on his person.' So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord." Satan made an accusation against God. God utilized Job to prove the accusation was false. But we have another similar situation when we come to the accounts of the gospel in the New Testament. And among the women on earth, we find Mary was chosen by God to be the earthly mother of the Messiah, or Jesus. That speaks volumes regarding the character and life of Mary. That doesn't mean Mary was a perfect person. Just as Job was not without faults, we realize that Mary had faults too. And Romans 3:23 applied equally to her. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Yet the scriptures indicate clearly what a fine person she was. Mary was blessed among women. In Luke chapter 1, I want to read verses 26 through 31 here. Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 31. "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women.' But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and call his name Jesus.'" Notice in verse 28, he refers to her as highly favored one. This is translated from a single Greek word, and it comes from the Greek word for grace. It indicates the idea of being graced by God. "Blessed art thou among women," the King James Version. The role of a mother is an honorable role. Mary received the highest honor among women in receiving the privilege of being the mother of Jesus. In verse 30, notice the angel said, "You have found favor with God." We are not provided with the details of how Mary gained favor with God, but we know that to gain favor with God, one has to live faithful to God. And yet we are given some glimpses into the mind and character of Mary that helps us to see why she gained favor with God. Notice, Mary is a woman who had a mind that contemplated spiritual matters. In Luke chapter 1, verse 29, but when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Now, she tried to discern what manner of greeting this was. The phrase here carries with it the idea of thorough reckoning, contemplating, or deliberating. She didn't just pass it off and give it not a second thought. She actually contemplated, what manner is this? In fact, the New King James Version, the New American Standard Version, there it is, renders it, kept pondering. She kept pondering. And Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 16, we read, and they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Mary pondered in her heart the things that were said. In Matthew chapter 2 and verse 11, notice the wise men that came to worship Jesus. Worship Jesus, but they didn't worship Mary. They didn't worship Mary. They came and worshiped Jesus. Now, in Luke chapter 2 and verse 51, then he went down with them and came to Nazareth, that is Jesus, went down with his parents, and was subject to them, but his mother kept all these things in her heart. She treasured up all the things that were going on in the life of her son in her heart. Now, not only did she have a mind that contemplated spiritual matters, Mary also had scriptural knowledge. Look with me again at Luke chapter 1, verses 46 through 55. Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regarded the lowly estate of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. And he has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things. And the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, As he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. To be chosen by God and to bear Jesus obviously tells us that Mary had to be a person who sought after God. And she knew what his word said. Her contemplation of spiritual matters is further evidenced in the words of when she said that, or when it says in verse, in what verse is it now? I can't. There we go. She sought after God. Her own words demonstrated that her knowledge of God's word was abundant. Recently, I ran across an article, and the article stated that there are references to 23 Old Testament passages in these words of Mary. Think about that. 23 Old Testament passages. Now, this is in a time period when the average person didn't have a King James Version to go turn to and do some reading. You had to go to the synagogue and hear the scriptures read. But obviously, she had accumulated this scriptural knowledge that became quite evident in her words. And actually, I believe there's more than 23 there. But Mary's words demonstrated an overall knowledge of God's word and of Hebrew history. Notice with me, if you will, just a few of these. In verse 47, we have Isaiah 45 and verse 21 referenced. Tell and bring forth your case. Yes, let him take counsel. Let them take counsel together. Who has declared this from the ancient times? Who has told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? And there is, now notice, there is no God beside me. A just God, a Savior, there's none beside me. Verse 48, Psalm 136, who remembered us in our lowly estate, for his mercy endures forever. And also Psalm 138 and verse 6, though the Lord is on high, yet he regards the lowly, but the proud he knows from afar. We see humility of Mary in these words. In verse 49, we see Isaiah 1, verse 24. The Lord says, the Lord of hosts, the mighty one of Israel, I will rid myself of my adversaries, take vengeance on my enemies. And in Isaiah 6 and verse 3, and one cried to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. In Isaiah 57 and verse 15, for thus says the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I will dwell in the high and holy place with him who has a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Then at verse 50 of our text, we find a reference to Psalm 85. Salvation is near to those who fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed. Also in Psalm 103 and verse 11, the heavens are as high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards those who fear him. In Psalm 103 and verse 17, the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and its righteousness to children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and those who remember his commandments to do them. And then in verse 51 of our text, Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 33 through 35, did any people ever hear the voice of God speaking out of the midst of the fire, as you have heard and live? Or did God ever try to go and take for himself a nation from amidst another nation by trials and signs and wonders, by war, by a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, and great terrors, according to all that the Lord your God did for you in Egypt before your eyes? Mary referred to all of these things, all of them. In Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 8, Remember, I pray, the word that you command your servant Moses, saying, if you are faithful, I will scatter you among the nations. Also, Jeremiah 13 and verse 50, do not be proud, for the Lord has spoken. Then in verse 52, let's see, where are we here? I'm probably a little bit behind. Oh, yeah, I am. There you are. In case you're copying this down. Verse 52, I got carried away with this reading here. Isaiah 14, verse 13. You have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farther sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet shall you be brought down to Sheol. Notice she referred to that. How God brought them low. Verse 53. Psalm 34, beginning with verse 9. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good. Again, verse 55, we find reference to chapter 12 of Genesis, chapter 17 of Genesis, chapter 22 of Genesis, and chapter 26. And I'm not going to read all those. So I know you're relieved. But I do want to look, however, at Psalm 105, verse 6. O seed of Abraham, his servant, you children of Jacob, his chosen ones, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He remembers his covenant forever. Mary referred to that, didn't she? The word which he commanded for 1,000 generations, the covenant which he made with Abraham and his oath to Isaac, and confirmed it to Jacob for a statute, to Israel as an everlasting covenant. Is there any doubt that Mary was a student of Scripture? Where did she get this knowledge? Where did she get this knowledge? But Mary also proved to be a good parent. Mary proved to be a good parent. In Luke chapter 2, verse 51, we're told that Jesus went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and favor with God and men. Now, the very fact that Jesus could subject himself to Joseph and Mary reveals that they were wonderful parents. Wonderful. In their house, he was under their supervision. And under their supervision, Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. Mothers and all the rest of us can see in Mary a good example. A good example. Now, how can we emulate this example? Well, first of all, we need to truly seek after God. With Mary, this was not something that she did occasionally. This is not something that she just did whenever the mood hit her. This is something that Mary did all the time. All the time. She sought after God. And we, like Mary, need to truly contemplate spiritual matters. How often do you find yourself thinking about spiritual things? I know you find yourself thinking about maybe what you're going to have for dinner or what you're going to have for lunch today. I know you think about what you're going to do for vacation, where you're going to go. I know you think about your work and various things you have to do in regard to your work. But how often do you contemplate spiritual matters? Do they ever get any time? Any time? I think we need to give consideration to this because God has given us these things to guide our lives, these precepts by which we are to conduct ourselves, and they need to be contemplated, given serious thought, and it ought to be often, not just once in a while. But also, like Mary, we need to grow in the knowledge of God's Word. We have an opportunity to grow in the knowledge of God's Word. We, the congregation, has decided that we're going to have a set plan of daily Bible reading. And all of us are going to subscribe to it. And we learn from this. We learn from it. I read too. I'm just like you. I read too. But have we remained faithful in it? We're getting towards the middle of the year. And unfortunately, this is kind of a time that we find people getting frustrated. Well, I got behind a few days and I'm just too far behind now. And so they just give up. Well, lucky for you, you don't have to sign a sheet. You don't have to tell anybody. And don't worry, God already knows. But you can find out where the reading is now. And you can proceed from there. If you want to, you might want to go back and pick up a little bit, because you might be getting in the middle of an account of something. But this is a good time to make up our mind. I'm going to learn more about God's Word. I'm going to read it every day. Now, I want you to think. You got time to read your email. You don't read your email. That's why I can't ever talk to you. Except David. But the thing is, David reads. But, you know, you've got time to do the things you want to do. Did you hear that? Want to do. So you'll find time to read. Find time. In fact, you'll make time. You'll make time every day. I have a designated time of day that I read the Scriptures. That's not the only time, of course, because I have reason to read the Scriptures for things other than just my daily Bible reading. But I have a time of day. Now, occasionally that gets interrupted. But I try to correct that just as soon as I can. We need to think about this. We as parents, mothers and fathers, need to provide an atmosphere within our home where children are taught the importance of studying God's Word. Now, it may mean having a Bible study with our family. It may mean helping our children with their Bible class lessons. Or just having our children seeing us sitting there reading every day, every day, every day. That will remind them how important God's Word is to us. How important it is to us. Only then can we expect our children to grow in wisdom, stature, and favor with God and man. Just like Jesus did. Mary stated that God is powerful and merciful. You remember that she stated that God had brought down kingdoms of the proud and exalted the humble. How God feeds the spiritually hungry and helps His people. How God fulfilled His promises to Abraham. And all of the things that He ultimately accomplished through Jesus and His cleansing blood. Surely we can learn a great deal about serving God by looking at the life of Mary. If you have not been obedient to the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, why haven't you? What has kept you from doing it? He has given you everything that's necessary to have eternal life. And short of your obedience, you're not going to get it. You're not going to get it. Why not confess your faith in Jesus today from a penitent heart? Be buried with your Lord in baptism for the remission of your sins. Rise up from that watery grave of baptism in newness of life, serving Him faithfully each and every day that you live.